Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back! Today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me!
Oh, leave me alone! Just piss off, will ya? Just piss off!
Someone needs a nap. We're back today with more sex education with Modern Hooker. This podcast series brings you chats and interviews with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world. Modern Hooker is a sex worker, but she's also an activist, a poet, an educator, and an author of a kick-ass comic strip called, aptly enough, Modern Hooker. If you somehow missed part one of this compelling discussion, look for last week's podcast number 124 on the podcast page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Or simply use my site's search function. Type in podcast number 124. And don't forget to include the pound sign. Visit Modern Hooker at her fabulous website, modernhooker.com. You can also find her brilliantly biting comic strip on carnalnation.com. Today's podcast sponsor is once again So Hard. So Hard is what we in the business call a boner pill. But So Hard is not just any old Viagra knockoff, no siree. It's a pure, all-natural herbal formula that improves sexual health, combats erectile dysfunction, and increases the strength of your erection when aroused. Listen, I've tried So Hard so I can testify to its effectiveness. Did you happen to see my product review that appeared on my new site, drdicksextoyreviews.com? It was posted last Friday, don't you know? If you didn't see the review, you'd better get with the program, my friend, because you're missing out. The reason I say that is that the makers of So Hard are offering an incredible deal for the visitors to my site. The first 1,000 customers will receive a free 2-tablet package for just the cost of shipping and handling. See? Now you can review the product yourself, and you can do it for free. All you do is log on to their site, create an order, enter the promotional code DD, as in Dr. Dick, in the checkout window, and then click the submit code link. Get your wood the natural way. Visit SoHardOnline.com today. Look for their handsome banner on the sidebar of my site. You'll be so glad you did.
That's not what I want.
I should think not. What do you want?
A blowjob. Please. Deep throat. If possible.
See what you've done, Modern Hooker? Now everyone is turning pro. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Modern Hooker, and thank you for joining us again. My mind has been reeling since last week, and I've had so much fun with you, and I'm so delighted that you're back. Not only did we have a lot of fun, but we imparted a lot of information, and I'd like to pick up where we left off. We were talking about last week. We were talking about the dangers inherent in sex work, and in light of the recent Craigslist brouhaha, do you worry about sexual predators?
Well, you know, I do have some concern there, but I go to great lengths to assure my safety and security. Mm-hmm. I screen potential clients thoroughly, no exceptions. Mm-hmm. I mean, in order to see me, you need to have been either referred by another provider who I know and trust, and if you don't have a reference, then you'll need to give me your personal information, such as your name, your place of work, your home phone, so I can verify, number one, that you're not a cop, and number two, that you're not a crazy person, mm-hmm. you know?
Because both of those things are dangerous, cops and crazy people.
They're very dangerous to me. You know, there's always someone who knows where I am, like when and where my appointments are.
Good
for you. If I do out calls to like a hotel, I check in and out with someone before and after each call. And I only go to like 5-star, 4-star resort type hotels.
Right.
Just because that's easier for me.
Yeah. Besides, you're pretty, and you don't want to be doing no dive, honey.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've managed a couple in-call spaces. I've booked girls before, and the security measures that we take would fill a book.
Yeah.
And the idea is that potential predators are much less likely to pull any crap mm-hmm. if they have given you their actual names right. and their places of employment and their home address.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's because like sex workers can't work openly. It makes us all vulnerable to a certain element of predators out there. There's
exactly
the Green River Killer, you know, who
right
killed 48 prostitutes.
Yeah.
That's right. Right up there in your neighborhood. You know, and I mean that stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
So
you know, I do massage and body work myself, and you know, periodically I get calls from people who say, you know, I'd like to come over for a massage, and I said, well, can you give me your telephone number? I insist that I have a callback number on absolutely everyone. Again, it's a way of protecting myself. And they said, well, I can't give you my telephone number. And I said, well, then if you cannot entrust me with your telephone number, you certainly are not going to want to entrust your entire body to me.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much and have a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of hobbyists, you know, those are escort clients are called hobbyists.
Yeah.
And there's a certain element out there that just, you know, aren't comfortable with that or refuse
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
And guess
and
what? They don't. They don't get in to see the, you know, a lot of, like, responsible escorts like myself who insist on that type of thing for their safety.
Right.
So they'll go on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And they'll find, you know, more younger and inexperienced
yes.
girls. And, you know.
And boys.
And boys. Yep.
Yeah. So I know that women sex workers are generally much more at risk than male hustlers, and I suspect that eliminating an above-board advertising outlet like Craigslist further endangers sex workers. Is that your perception as well?
Oh, well, all sex workers are endangered because we don't have above-board ways to advertise. Craigslist was just free. It wasn't necessarily... It's not any more above-board than any of the paid sites that we have to advertise
right, exactly.
on.
Exactly. Good for you.
You know? Yeah, so... there's that, you know?
what steps do you take to protect yourself and your health and your client's health?
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes I feel like I'm a public... health worker.
Oh, good for you.
You know, I mean, without exception, myself and everyone I know uses condoms for sex and for blowjobs. I mean, I use latex gloves for anything having to do with anal, you know, anal insertion like prostate massage.
Right.
I put rubbers on sex toys, or most of the time I ask them to bring their own.
Right, good for you.
I inspect the client's genitals for anything unusual, you know, in a way that, like, with a lot of charm.
like, oh, this is so big.
they can't tell what I'm doing,
uh-huh.
but I bring it to their attention as something's right. wrong, you know, in a kind and respectful way. And
yes.
and if necessary, I renegotiate the session. It's like, look, you know, you have this going on. I don't, you know, it looks like it might be this. I think you probably need to get it checked out.
Right.
So we're not going to be able to do...
It's curious how many people are not that connected or familiar with their own body that they would know,
I know.
That there's a disturbance even.
Or and there's that element that tries to get over on you,
right.
you know, periodically, you know. But I'll renegotiate the session with them and say, like, we're not going to be able to do what you came to do today, but we could, you know, I could offer you this or, you know, something else. You could come back later. But, you know, so. And, like, I offer a jacuzzi spa tub encounter.
Oh, good.
And I always ask if they have a medical condition such as diabetes or any heart issues before I draw the water because people, like, with diabetes can't have hot baths.
Yes.
So I'll just kind of make it a little bit more tepid, you know. In BDSM sessions, you know, I take precautions with things like how tight the ropes are and, you know, kind of interview people on what their level of experience is
right.
with things.
Right.
So,
you're very conscientious then, not only for your own safety, but for the safety of your clients. And I think that's absolutely marvelous. One cannot always be guaranteed that when one is, you know, going to a sex worker. Not everyone is that conscientious.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, certain things in life, shoes is one of them. You get what you pay for.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying, I don't mean to sound like, you know, snobby or anything, but if you're paying $300 or $400 an hour for someone, you're going to be guaranteed someone, I think, that's going to, you know, have a little bit more on the ball than someone who's given, like, you know, half an hour rates for $60.
Right.
You know, they're going to be, they're going to be probably a little bit more informed about things and have more at stake.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That
you
is
know, like
so true.
Their reputation or whatever. So, yeah.
Is sex work empowering to you as a woman?
Yeah, it has been. It's been extremely empowering. I'll tell you what's empowering about it. The money has been extremely empowering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I've been able to accomplish with it. Where else in our society can a woman make $200, $300, $400 an hour without an expensive education or a long, grueling career?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a woman, the positive feedback from clients about, you know, my personality, my body, my sexual techniques, my escort style, you know, I get all those through online reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus, it's been really very reaffirming.
Mm-hmm.
And empowering. You know, I wish we could have reviews like that in, you know, regular relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know of any other, you know, segment where you can go online and read how somebody thought, how well somebody thought you gave a blowjob.
Right.
You know, she,
that's,
you know,
too bad.
Say,
wouldn't it be great if we could do
that's
that
what I'm
partners?
Saying. Wouldn't that be great? There needs to be somebody out there. Take it on.
This is a brand new thing for Craigslist.
Yeah, really.
How's your wife or your husband doing in that eating out at the Y or giving a blowjob?
That's daddy, yeah. Dining at the Y. But yeah, no, I mean, they get really detailed. Like, she paid great attention to the boys, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is the testicles,
right.
While, you know, administering a smooth up and down stroke with great POV eye contact.
Wow.
You know, like, you know.
You can't go wrong with reviews like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
That's how detailed it is.
Yeah. Is sex work easy to get into and to get out of?
Well, that depends entirely on the person.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot more easier these days because there's a lot more information on the internet. There's all kinds of sex worker blogs. There's books and so forth. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting out of,
mm-hmm.
you know, same. I mean, it's completely depends on the individual.
Mm-hmm. Would you advise other women to consider this as a career change?
Well, escorting or prostitution is not for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is not. There's a process.
At least sexual prostitution. We prostitute ourselves all the time on other ways to get money and further our career. But go ahead. Yes.
Well, yeah, like marriage is prostitution.
Yes.
Whatever.
What?
Try seeing three clients and three husbands in one day, you know? But no, I think there's a process each one of us needs to go through
mm-hmm.
before, you know, when we're considering getting into escorting.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to really do some soul searching, examine your values. You know, I mean, for many of us, this is, you know, this is just an assumption, but I think we need to, like, conscientiously discard some of the societal morals we were raised with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to our sexuality, replace them with standards which, you know, are meaningful for ourselves. And if that fits in the realm of escorting or prostitution, then, you know, you're on your way.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to honestly answer a lot of questions for yourself. Like, can I do sex work and be responsible about it?
Mm-hmm.
Will I feel good about myself at the end of the day? Am I comfortable setting boundaries and not letting clients disregard those, because there are clients that will try to, you know, disregard. There will be clients that will say, well, come on, you know, we don't have to do it with a condom. Come on, please,
mm-hmm.
please, you know, and you got to be able to say no, 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 and no.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep asking, the session's over.
Yeah.
And you need to, you know, be able to get up off the bed and show them the door
mm-hmm.
with the least amount of drama possible.
Mm-hmm.
and give them all the money back, you know, just to get them out.
Yeah.
You got to ask, you know, am I willing to be arrested and go to jail if something shitty went down?
Mm-hmm.
Can I see myself sucking the dick of a 70-year-old man, you know? It's not all glamour,
mm-hmm.
you know? It really is not all glamour. You know, there should be like an escort aptitude test for people considering getting into it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are way too many girls, young girls, out there these days, especially on Craigslist,
mm-hmm.
who are not mature enough or have some screwed up idea that hookers are really like hustlers and criminals and you're supposed to, you know, put some game down on them, steal from clients and stuff. And that's, you know,
gives us all a bad name.
Gives everybody a bad name,
Well,
perpetuates that myth.
Yeah. And speaking of mythology, one of the myths that I hear from time to time is that sex workers are working out some twisted sexological problems that they have had earlier in their life, which, you know, I mean, you could say the same thing about, you know, an undertaker has a problem with death or something, or a priest having a problem with God, or, you know, I mean, I just don't think that translates. Do you?
Not at all. Absolutely not. I don't know anybody, and I have a pretty wide circle of sex workers whom I'm close with, and they're not all from my town. A lot of them are from, you know, major cities, and they've kind of settled where I live and so forth. So they bring with them, you know, all kinds of experience and so forth. And I've gotten to know a lot of people really well. Not a single one of us have ever been sexually abused, you know. None of us have drug habits, you know. I mean, just that's a myth, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want, you know, I don't want to be any part of perpetuating that.
Yeah. Right. Good. I'm gathering that you do not live in Las Vegas or Nevada, where it might be a little bit less risky to practice your trade. Can you talk a little bit? I know you've touched on this before, but the legal ramifications of your work?
Well, kind of like I said earlier, if I got busted where I live, a person's first conviction is a mandatory 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
Your second is a mandatory 30 days. That means there's no plea bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
There's no asking the prosecutor for a break. There's no asking the judge for a break. It's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Your third conviction is 60 days. And on your fourth conviction, you pick up a felony charge and you spend 6 months in jail.
Jesus.
That's 6 months in prison,
mm-hmm.
you know.
For doing what you choose to do with your body.
Yeah, yeah.
That just knocks me out.
Well, but the good, you know, I mean, that's why it's so important that we take great measures for, you know, screening clients and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I think that those rates of conviction happen more commonly on the street when you're applying your trade out in the open. You're really visible. You know, you don't know who, you're not verifying anybody because that's not you don't know who you're getting into. And, you know, just if you show, like, you know, your nipple to a person, that doesn't mean that they're not a cop. I mean, there's just no way to get around it.
Yeah. I saw in one of your comics about the hooker who, you know, offers, or a cop comes, an undercover cop comes to the hooker and asks for a blowjob. Partner gets the blowjob and then arrests the hooker.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, hey, wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to be doing the arresting before the blowjob?
Yeah, no, that story—that's actually based on a true story. Yeah, that happened to a friend
I've
of mine.
I've heard that before myself.
It's just horrendous. I mean, she was more in shock about, you know, the fact that she just basically finished a job.
Yeah.
You know, she he didn't ejaculate because that would be unprofessional or something. I don't know, but
what a guy.
But yeah, but he was naked with his pants down around his ankles when the rest of the other cops busted in.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this is America, and this shit happens.
Yeah. And it's entrapment. I mean, you got to say that, but oh well. One of the other misconceptions that I hear from people all the time in terms of sex work is that your line of work desensitizes you to sex in general.
What do you mean?
It's just like, you know, ho-hum and, you know, next and...
Well, That hasn't been my experience. I mean, do I sometimes get tired of sex or looking at dick? Yeah. Sometimes I do, but, you know, I'm sure a baker gets tired of looking at donuts all day, you know? I mean, no, it doesn't, so. It hasn't desensitized me. Physically, it's, I mean, I'm just like, I've come into my sexuality just 110%,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's probably like the more I get, the more I want.
Yeah. Probably your boyfriend wouldn't be your boyfriend if it was ho-hum.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, I mean, there are times when, you know, I mean, it's never come up, but I've always kind of wondered, like, there are certain times when I've had, like, a, you know, a hard day, and I don't typically see, like, you know, maybe, my typical day is, like, 1 to 2 clients,
yes.
And periodically 3, sometimes 4, but that's not real rare. I don't like to work that hard.
Yes.
But there are times when, you know, I've seen some clients and I don't want to have sex because I'm all sexed out.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can jerk off in front of me and I'll watch. How's that? You know, it's like,
I'm gonna go have a cigarette.
Or can you just wait? Let me take a nap. No, that, you know, I mean, that's going to happen with anything.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that you have such a wonderful sense of humor about this because it's a lot of it is just absolutely laughable. And
well, I'm glad he has a sense of humor. that's why we survive.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I know you touched on this before, but maybe you have something else to add. Do you find it absolutely necessary to establish emotional boundaries with your clients? I mean, they're your clients and they're not your friends or they're not your lovers or they're not whatever, your intimates.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to be careful with this one because I'm in love with and living with a former client. But,
uh-huh.
You know, sometimes clients have told me they love me or they want to start seeing me outside of work. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I handle those situations with as much, you know, respect and kindness as possible. I have actually seen a couple clients, like gone out to dinner with them with no sex involved or anything, just because we enjoyed each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, for the most part, clients know what the boundaries are, and they
right.
kind of stay within
right.
those.
And they want that too. They're not coming to you for, you know, a relationship. They're coming to you for this bracketed off time where, you know, they can, you know, be something other than their regular self, I would suspect.
Well, for the most part, but I think that there's some that are looking for a girlfriend.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, boyfriend. Yeah, my boyfriend thought, like, you know, oh, I'm going to have hooker sex forever, you know. It's like, no, I'm not going to dress up in the, you know, thigh highs and vinyl boots and stuff for you every time we fuck. Sorry to disappoint. And we're
no,
not going to
go do the dishes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you work with both women and men?
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, no, I've never had a woman as a woman client come to me on her own, but I've had couples before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. A question that I've been meaning to ask you, do you have sexual heroes?
Sexual heroes.
People that you think have revolutionized the area of human sexuality, at least from your point of view. I mean, you're one of my sexual heroes.
Aww, thank you.
You are, darling. You really, really are.
You're awesome.
I know but thanks.
Can I be Dr. Vagina?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Ginny Vagina.
Right. You know, I'll tell you who one of my sexual heroes is. Annie Sprinkle.
You know, I always had a nickel for every time somebody has said that. You know, to me.
I love her.
She impacted on so many people.
And she is a friend of mine.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's a 1970s porn star.
Yes.
She used to live in my town.
No kidding.
And
She lives in San Francisco now, yes?
Yeah, she sure does, yeah.
Absolutely.
And she's and another one of my heroes is Carol Lee, Scarlet Harlot.
Ah.
Carol Lee, who was on the, you know, one of the grandmothers of the sex worker rights movement. She's also a friend of mine. I love her to death.
Oh, good.
I'm trying to get her to move back to... She also lived in my town for a while. I'm trying to get her to move back here. And,
oh, cool.
She coined the word sex workers back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And she is a powerhouse. She is hilarious. She is your quintessential, you know, well, she plays like this quintessential body hooker,
mm-hmm.
but she's really super, super smart, you mm-hmm. know, and just both women are just amazing.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's really important. Do you find that you need to mentally prepare yourself as well as physically prepare yourself for meeting a client?
Yeah, to some degree. Not as much as when I first started out.
Right, right, right.
But if it's a new client, someone I've never seen before, I'm like running through my head, like, you know, how I verified them. And I'm always a little nervous mm-hmm. that, you know, he's not going to be legit or he'll turn out to be a jerk or, you know, something weird. I'll try to, like, you know, extend his time over the hour or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that often, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. We talked about this last week briefly, but I would really like to turn our attention in full force on this. Is you are an activist for sex workers. You've identified your sexual heroes as people who are also in the field, and rightfully so. What else does being an activist mean? And is your artwork, your comic strip, a offshoot of your activism?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, sex workers are some of the most marginalized women or people and laborers in this country.
Yes.
We're criminalized and stigmatized for what amounts to a private arrangement between two consenting adults. And not dissimilar to the issues surrounding abortion or gay rights,
yes.
You know, the government has absolutely no business being inside my panties or in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
They have no business dictating what I can do and what I can't do with my body. You know, that's mm-hmm. fundamentally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So the sex worker rights movement itself attempts to humanize and dignify sex workers, and on a larger scale, decriminalize or legalize prostitution,
right.
depending on, you know, what part of the world you're in.
Yes.
It's a civil rights movement. It's a human rights movement.
Yes.
And, you know, there's an incredible number of highly educated, smart women who have lots of money and spare time to, you know, like I've said this before, you know, push the political and social agenda toward, I think, some serious, meaningful change.
Yeah.
You know, what I do as an activist in my community is, well, with my local, I'm a member of SWAP, which is the Sex Worker Outreach Project.
Oh, interesting.
If anybody's out there, anybody out there is interested, they can go to www.swop-usa.org. And what I do with my local chapter, I talk to classes at local universities.
Wow,
I give presentations to social work agencies, things like that. I've been the director of a sex worker arts festival before.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like, oh, it was awesome. It was this 3-day event. We've had it 4 years in a row. It's a 3-day event with like national and international performance artists, and academic panels, and films, and we have like, you know, workshops like, you know, sex work 101 or sex work and parenting or you know, variety of things. And then on a national and global level, I help organize events like the National Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers, which happens every December 17th each year. And I've assisted in coordinating the distribution of 4,000 condoms to sex workers in Chile.
Wow.
Yeah. So that stuff is important. And, you know, you asked about how my activism relates to the comic strip. You know, I was a marketing major in college, and I learned one thing. Sex sells and comedy sells.
It's
you know,
so
it is
true.
It is. I mean, as an activist, I have a message to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are still so many myths and misconceptions about prostitution. If we're ever going to see any change, we need to start educating people about what the issues really are. We need to normalize and humanize, you know, this mysterious, dark thing called prostitution and prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the comic strip is, you know, it's fun and it's a creative outlet for me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah. And besides, it's great. I mean, it's really well done. I mean, I was really surprised. I mean, to be a really good sex worker is one thing. To be a really good cartoonist is another thing. And to be both together is like, holy cow.
Well, now let's, I'm real upfront about this. I'm a writer. I don't illustrate the comic per se.
Uh-huh.
I use a program for all the artwork.
Oh, well, still.
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, I draw like a fucking monkey, but I'm a smart ass, and so that's a good outlet for my, you know.
Yeah. And besides, I mean, what you can achieve with a little bit of humor, as opposed to carrying a sign or beating someone over the head. I mean, it's so much, and that's another reason why I like doing these podcasts with, you know, very interesting people like yourself, is because it is so informative and it's so easy to consume. And we actually learn stuff in the process, and so I think that's so brilliant. One final question. What advice would you give someone considering a career move into sex work?
Do your research, you know. Take some time for self-examination, because you want it to be a healthy and responsible choice for yourself. There's tons of information on the internet. There's tons of sex worker blogs. Join a local SWAP chapter or contact swap-usa.org and
I'll be sure to
connected.
Put a link on that on our posting.
That would be great. You know, I think what was really helpful for me was that I had a mentor when I was getting back into it the second time around.
Uh-huh.
You know, she basically taught me some ropes. She was so cool. She said, you know, if you need to process anything, I'm here for you.
Oh, how nice.
You know, and I did need to process some things. I just needed to, maybe not process per se, but I needed to, you know, I remember after my first escort call, I called her up right away, and I go, guess who's the big whore now? You know, and I was really proud of myself, and she was just so supportive and wonderful.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, I'd say find a mentor, someone who can teach you the ropes, and, you know, just spend some time, you know, reflecting, you know, whether or not you're cut out for it, and give yourself, you know, make it an experiment. You don't have to commit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go ahead and try it. Maybe do a doubles with somebody else the first few times around. Yeah. Just take care of yourself.
Well, listen, our time is up again, and I could go on and on and on, and would like to, and maybe we'll have other opportunities to chat together. But for now, I have to close. Can I ask you to give us your website address again and walk us around a bit so we can know what we can find there?
Sure. Well, my website is modernhooker.com, and on there you'll find my comics and a link to my blog, which is modernhooker.wordpress.com. Not very fancy. and the blog is a blog. But I write about, you know, my personal life and about current issues that are happening in the sex industry or sex work industry. And then I have another set of cartoons over on a weekly strip at carnalnation.com.
Cool.
And so, yeah, that's pretty much me.
And do you have like a links section where we could find the swap.usa.org?
Right, yeah, that's
like
on
that?
My... Right, there's one of the tabs on my modernhooker.com is no, and so I have some links to those places, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, listen, I am eternally in your debt. I've been trying to reach out to other sex workers to join me, and you have broken this open, and maybe others will feel more comfortable in sharing their experiences with this audience. So thank you for being so generous with your precious time. We are all the richer for the experience.
Well, thank you very much. It's been really fun, Dr. Dick.
Thank you. And until we chat again, we will be seeing one another in cyberspace.
I guess so.
Okay. Bye now.
Thank you.
Great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is So Hard. I know what you're thinking. With so many herbal supplements on the market that boast fast-acting results, it's hard to know which erection-enhancing formula to choose, or if one shouldn't just avoid them altogether. I always tell my clients to beware of bogus claims and dangerously adulterated products that abound in the marketplace. So Hard is different. It is made of 100% herbal extracts. It's as effective as any of the medically prescribed drugs I've ever tried, but it's much kinder to my system. There were no headaches, no unsightly flushes, upset stomach, no rise in blood pressure, or altered vision. In my years-long search for the holy grail of herbal erection enhancers, I have found only one product that consistently delivers on the promises it makes without any nasty side effects. So Hard improves genital blood circulation, which assists in achieving and sustaining a strong erection. As you know, every human body is unique. Each of us metabolizes what we consume in a slightly different way, so keep that in mind when you use So Hard. And just so we're clear, So Hard is not miraculous. It's not going to override an unhealthy lifestyle, but it can positively affect our sexual response cycle, making us more easily aroused as well as a more energetic lover. Look for the So Hard banner on DrDickSexAdvice.com.
I'm going to give you something very special. Very special indeed.
I can hardly wait. Anyhow, look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health Subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.